to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers back with you Friday, November 20th. Another episode, gentlemen, another episode of the show.
Another day, another podcast.
That's right. And we are getting into the rest of the Week 11 matchups on today's episode. And reacting to last night's game as well. We have some news to talk about.
Oh my goodness, do we have news. What happened yesterday at practices?
It's ridiculous. News this morning. So, as we get into it, you can prepare yourself, fantasy football player.
Yeah, one piece of breaking news is that the 12th man, they were salty from our dancing on them a couple weeks ago. Because I assume your guys' Twitter blew up like mine did. It was pretty much full of nothing but Seahawks fans just giving me the business, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was. Look, I don't deserve everything that I get, but we deserved that one.
Oh yeah, yeah, we did. And what's kind of ironic, and Mike, I didn't even realize you had tweeted about it. I did as well. I've never heard worse fake crowd noise than what they were piping in last night during the game, which is the greatest disrespect to the greatest crowd in the game.
Yes.
It's like, well, they didn't use their 12th man software. They used some like Jacksonville audio. I don't understand what was going on.
I mean, the problem was that what's great about like the silver lining of this, you know, no fans, crazy season is we're hearing more and more players on the field, you know, what they're jawing. Play call switches, like really cool stuff. But the audio people last night decided that the crowd noise and the on the field sound needed to be the same audio channel. So when the inevitable NFL player drops a word you cannot say on network television, they were just muting the whole thing. And it was ridiculous, man. It was really, really bad production.
They didn't reach out to Al Borland. They didn't reach out to Judge Giamatti. They didn't.
Foolish.
Yeah, they should have. Our production quality was better than what I heard last night. And the truth is, this game disappointed for fantasy purposes.
It did, unfortunately.
And even if you had a player who produced some value, like DK Metcalf, you had moments where, look, he had a couple of drops. He had an end zone drop.
His face dropped 40, the ball.
40, oh, yeah, that's right. He had a 40-plus yard reception call back.
Yeah, and so Metcalf, okay, productive. Lockett. I think he caught 9 of 9 passes, productive.
Had a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. But
Drake had a touchdown.
Yeah, Drake had a touchdown, but only he ran for fewer than 30 yards in this game. I think if you started Chase Edmonds, if you were forced into a flex of Chase Edmonds, you were happy getting double-digit production.
You got to be.
But Kyler Russell.
Dude. Yeah, Kyler was disappointing because of the matchup, because of the
Hopkins
over-under.
As well.
Yeah, but, dude, Carlos Hyde came through in a big way, and he looked great. And this simply, if you're looking at that going, well, what do we take about this, just keeps my confidence high for when Chris Carson finally comes back,
which is officially next week.
Carson is going to dominate.
Pete Carroll came out and said that he would be out there. I'm glad I kept my mouth shut yesterday when you guys recommended Carlos Hyde again. You were spot on. And the truth is we found out Alex Collins wasn't available, and it was like, Bo Scarborough and Carlos Hyde, you guys were dead on all week.
Collins was not available because the Seahawks didn't want him.
Yeah.
Because this is what happened. They had already called him up. The rule for the NFL is you can call a player up from the practice squad twice and then send them back, which is new for this year because of all the craziness. But after that, you would have to give them an actual contract to be on the active roster, and they didn't want to do it.
Speaking of Bo Scarborough, did either of you guys have a hard time watching the
him
splits?
Do the splits? Yeah, that was a
as a man groin. That has tight hamstrings, I couldn't watch that for my body to do that.
Your legs would have shot off like yes. like a G.I. Joe explosion.
100%. My legs are completely disconnected down there.
If, like the rubber if it's bands gonna... holding the legs on just snapped and go, pew! There goes Jason's legs.
That's right.
All right. It is Friday.
Foot Clan Friday.
We're always taking care of the Foot Clan. A weekly giveaway to our supporters at jointhefoot.com. This week's item from Pristine Auction is a... Oh, Mike just saw it. It's a signed A.J. Brown jersey.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
And that goes out to our winner this week, Matt Samuelson. Congratulations. You won an A.J. Brown signed jersey from PristineAuction.com.
That's hot.
Yeah, that's nice. So you can check out their auctions at PristineAuction.com. Use code BALLERS over there. We do have a couple of pivots, all right? We've got some changes to our start of the week picks from yesterday because of new information. So I'm going to transition away from Matthew Stafford as my start of the week based on a couple of things. One, I still think he has the potential to have a decent week. And if you need to put him into your lineup, you're facing the Josh Allen bye, your league is, you know, they fill up their bench with quarterbacks. Stafford could be okay, but Marvin Jones was limited in practice a couple times this week. Kenny Golladay, you thought maybe he could come back, but then he missed practice on Thursday. He won't have Golladay. And then on the other side of the ball, there's a lot of question marks about whether Teddy Bridgewater will be out there. In fact, we don't think he will be. So the potential for this to be a kind of barn burner versus a running-oriented game is taken down a notch. So I'm going to transition from Matthew Stafford, and I'm going to go over to Big Ben Roethlisberger. He plays Jacksonville, who's given up over 25 fantasy points per game to the quarterback position, including top 10 performances the last 3 weeks. And Big Ben is, the line this year is cooking, right? So Big Ben's been cooking, and he has all his ingredients, all the weapons are ready to go, and he's been the number three fantasy quarterback the last 3 weeks.
I believe the line on this show is eating hamburgers, and Big Ben is eating
lots
of them burgers.
Sure looks like Big Ben's been eating hamburgers all over the field.
Yeah, so I will go with Big Ben as the pivot. And then, Mike, we got some news about your running back start of the week.
Part of your pivot for Matthew Stafford, I believe, has to be related to this as well, that DeAndre Swift, rookie sensation for the Detroit Lions at the running back position, missed practice yesterday because of a concussion. DeAndre Swift is not going to play this weekend. DeAndre Swift might not play next weekend.
Because it's the Thursday game.
Oh, I didn't even factor that in. Like, DeAndre Swift is... I'll say this.
What a bummer.
You better be prepared to be without DeAndre Swift for at least a couple weeks now, which sucks because the breakout was happening. I'm moving over just because I want to give people a waiver wire pivot option. Maybe you're struggling at the running back position. Adrian Peterson will be the guy for the Detroit Lions. He has been it before. I mean, you saw a couple good fantasy games for him at the beginning of the season. Jason's giving me the face because he thinks it's Kerryon Johnson. Carry on my wayward
son. Don't you cry no more.
It's not Kerryon Johnson. KJ will get on the field a little bit, but with Matt Stafford with the thumb injury, with the wide receiver options for Detroit banged up, with Teddy Bridgewater not playing, I don't see a way that Adrian Peterson doesn't carry the ball 20-plus times. Does that turn into huge production? Maybe. The matchup against Carolina says that Peterson will be a running back too this week.
He is always waiting for moments like this. He is sitting around projecting potential scenarios like this. We don't know for sure whether he was the one who gave the concussion to DeAndre Swift. But no. I mean, it's unfortunate because you saw Swift break out, and it's so good for the offense. But no, Peterson's going to get a ton of work, and people have asked about starting Kerryon. And if you do, you're probably just going to watch Adrian Peterson play a lot of football. Now, would you play somebody like Peterson, or would you play Kalen Ballage, who has an opportunity this week?
I would go Ballage in that case.
All right. So that concludes our pivot segment of the show.
Pivot?
And let's get into some news.
News and notes from around the league.
I should say maybe it concludes our pivot segment of the show, because the first bit of news we have here does tie into a stream of the week that was brought up earlier. Look, the Saints, Taysom Hill will start Sunday against the Falcons, according to multiple sources. Took all of the starter reps at practice this week. Jameis Winston will be the backup.
Wow.
Reactions. Wow. How are you reacting to this news? Because I have lots of thoughts.
I have so many thoughts. I'm blown away. I'm excited. I still don't believe it. you know, it's like, he's named the starter. Great, he's the starter. Wink. But yeah, it's if you're on ESPN, congratulations for your free win, having a super flex in a non-super flex league. If you were able to grab Taysom Hill and throw him in your tight end spot or your flex, I'm going to take the under on the game, as I expect this to be a Tim Tebow offense. If Taysom Hill is out there, a lot of running and clock moving type of football.
Yeah, it's something to be discussed. I understand why you said I don't believe it, because, you know, for all we know, this could be something that during the game there's some transition to Jameis Winston snaps. I am more inclined to believe it based on him taking starter reps at practice than I would be if it was just an arbitrary call. And we joke about coaches, the gamesmanship of, ooh, who's going to be my starting quarterback? And here's the truth. It really does matter between these two players. Keeping that on lockdown is an advantage when you have a fully rushing-oriented quarterback versus a passing quarterback, as opposed to two mediocre passers like the Trubisky-Foles type of hidden agenda. But look, Taysom Hill does not have to be a great NFL quarterback to be a great fantasy producer for your team this week. Correct. That is the thing that Tim Tebow taught us. He has a whole chapter in the book of fantasy football about that. You guys have brought it up many times. Taysom Hill, I went back to try to watch passing highlights at BYU, and I can't tell you how many times I was like, oh, this one's a pass, and he'd put his arm back to throw, and it would turn into a 64-yard run. So there weren't passing highlights. He did throw the ball 1,000 times in college. He did complete 60% of his passes, but we haven't seen it at the professional level yet. And if you pay a guy $21 million like the Saints did, it's a good idea to see what you have in him. I mean, let him throw the football a little bit to see if this is your future, because there's no guarantee Jameis is a better option for the future. Neither could be your future if you're New Orleans.
Yeah, it's tough. This is a very tough situation. I agree with Andy that Peyton paid Taysom Hill. At the time, I think everyone outside of Sean Payton and the Saints thought it was stupid to give a gadget player who's not even your backup quarterback that much money. Let's see what he can do. My question for you guys is, what do you do with the options?
Like, yeah,
Michael Thomas, what do you do with Jared Cook? Like, you go from being really excited. Michael Thomas is finally back. My first round pick. He's through his injury here. The matchup is fine for Michael Thomas. But now you cannot possibly be excited. Jason, talk me into Michael Thomas.
I can't talk you into it other than saying Michael Thomas is a world-class, one of the best wide receivers in the league, and he should be the number one target in the offense, and he'll have a good target market share, a good share of the yardage. But I expect all those things to be down. I expect the targets to be down, the yardage to be down. So I'm still starting Michael Thomas, but I'm certainly disappointed that the quarterback is going to be Taysom Hill. I do wonder who the deep threat's going to be, because if this is a run, you know, it's going to be a lot like what you saw, or I think what Peyton is going for is what you saw last year from Baltimore, where, I mean, if you, between your quarterback and your running backs, if you're running, you know, 60-70% of the time, including quarterback rushes, the defense comes up and you bomb over the top. But you just can't take a shot, having never seen what we have no idea what to expect other than, you know, hypothesis right now for a Taysom Hill-led Saints.
Yeah, and I would be actually more inclined to be, you know, Thomas I'd play because he's close to the line of scrimmage, sure-handed, separation, high-percentage throws. I don't think Peyton wants to make mistakes with this. I think that's part of the decision here is he saw some of Winston last week, took sacks, interception, some mistakes took place, and I know Taysom Hill has had some fumbling issues in his limited reps. But I do think that they're going to try to put him in a position to, just not ruin things for this defense that's been better And that includes easy, high percentage throws to Alvin Kamara and to Michael Thomas. So I'm excited to see it. Like you said, Jason, at the top, yeah. It's going to be fun to watch.
Also, Alvin Kamara did not practice Thursday with a foot problem.
That's true. Yeah, that, but he said he was fine.
That's part of this.
Didn't he come out and say he was fine? That's the report I saw yesterday.
We had this a couple weeks ago, so he should be playing, but at least need to know that it's happening.
All right, we talked about DeAndre Swift. Galladay didn't practice on Thursday. Marvin Jones did return to a limited practice. That makes him a little bit sketchy with the knee, although I imagine if he's active, you can flex him. Davante Adams, you know, red alert here. Yes. Held out of Thursday's practice. We talked about this on the Sirius show yesterday, Jason, where what's the problem? It's the conservative medical staff in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, concerned.
They held out Davante Adams when it seemed like he was ready to go for a week longer than you wanted. They did the same to Aaron Jones. So if Davante Adams is struggling with something, they want him in the playoffs more than they want him for week 11.
And then Joe Mixon did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. I saw somebody tweeting out that they can't wait to put Joe Mixon on their IR spot for a 18th consecutive week, because apparently that's what it feels like right now with Joe Mixon. Somehow it feels like he's been out much longer than Chris Carson somehow. I don't know why that is, but unlikely we see Joe Mixon on the field again.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins missed Thursday's practice due to an illness. We don't have any reason to believe he'll miss the game yet. Same with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There are other illnesses out there, breaking news, and some players are not COVID positive and yet still missing due to flu or other symptoms. Corey Clement, though, is positive and on the reserve COVID-19 list. They added Jordan Howard to the practice squad. This should excite nobody.
No, and I want to add a quick note here on Calvin Ridley, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, because I've seen differing opinions on what's going on with him. He's had, at least on Wednesday and Thursday, he had limited practice. Now, some of the blurb sites are saying, well, that sounds like he's going to be good to go this weekend because he's got limited practice. Let's see what happens on Friday. But the actual report from the Falcons website kind of lists it as he's not getting better. And so it's a situation that you need to be aware of and monitoring that. I'm a complete 50-50 here. I don't know if Calvin Ridley is going to play or if he's going to sit. Just be ready.
Now, this is foot strain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things where I know they're different people and there's different types of foot strains, but it was like it was expected to, oh, maybe he'll get there that week one for Chris Carson and for Joe Mixon. They're going to be ready. And so far, for both of those guys, it's taken more time than you expected and hoped and what the timeline originally said to get back from these foot sprains.
Ridley is at 2 weeks right now because he missed the game and they had the bye week.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Before we jump into the fantasy forecast, I want to remind everybody, look, are you playing some DFS? We know you people out there playing your DFS, getting your DraftKings on, your FanDuel on. If you want some help getting that done, check out the Fantasy Footballers DFS podcast hosted by our own Kyle the Borgogan and Matthew Betts. They have been crushing it all year long. It's an entertaining listen. They are breaking things down. The Fantasy Football is about DFS for the rest of us. So maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never tried out some DFS. Well, now is the time to do it. Thanksgiving Day is when you get in on the DFS action. In fact, the crew over there on the Fantasy Football's DFS pod, they're going to put out a bonus Thanksgiving Day slate podcast. Trust me, if you've never experienced DFS, you want to take Turkey Day up a notch. Turkey Day is going to be different this year than any other year. Why not take it to a whole new level by getting in on some FanDuel or some DraftKings on Thanksgiving, and you can get your help from the guys on the DFS podcast. It's everywhere you listen to podcasts, so go check it out.
Fantasy Forecast.
All right. I am excited. We've got the Megalodon show next Wednesday. Oof. And that's always an event, right? You gotta properly hydrate. You've got to.
I didn't know what that first sound was.
Get some calories in there. Jason's ready to rumble. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Next Tuesday, I will be going to sleep at 7 p.m. to prepare my body.
Now, every year on during the Megalodon show, you eat a full canned cranberry sauce on live on the show. Isn't that the whole that the bit?
Sounds disgusting. Because
oh, you don't like it?
No, of course not. It's a of course cranberry not. He says flavored about a jelly. Can?
Oh, you are so you gross. And canned foods. Have
I know. I love
coexisted
I love
in a big way.
Call me crazy. Cranberry. I don't like canned jelly. I like my jelly in a bottle.
I do call you crazy. Cranberry sauce in a can is spectacular, and you're going to get some hate on this Twitter thread. Do you like regular cranberry sauce, like homemade with the chunks of cranberry in it?
I don't know if people have
bogberries
tried cranberries, but they're awful. They're just not good. Cranberry juice is only good when it has like it's half sugar. If you've ever tried real cranberry juice or cranberries, it's disgusting. Disgusting.
If you've seen, I think John Oliver did a bit on cranberries and cranberry sauce and how bad the berry is, and he quoted a like Ocean Spray representative who put out a letter that literally said the berry in and of itself has a like a pungent, nasty taste and
an unpalatable taste.
He called them bog berries.
Yeah. So
sugar solves all things. Yeah. Okay, yesterday we covered a number of matchups, Eagles, Browns, Falcons, Saints, Bengals, Washington, the Lions, Panthers, Steelers, Jags, and Titans, Ravens game. Seven more today to get into, so why not start here? The New England Patriots, 4-5, taking on the Houston Texans, who are 2-7 right now. Patriots, 2-point road favorites, 48.5-point over-under. Some signs of life from the Patriots in recent weeks. And this, let's start at the quarterback position because, Jason, you brought up the case for Deshaun Watson yesterday. The fact that on a per-play basis, this Patriots defense is not great on a per-play basis. Now, they do limit opposing fantasy quarterbacks production-wise, but Watson is a one-play type of guy. You find Fuller, you find Cooks, you do it twice on the course of an entire game, and you have a fantasy week. So, still confident with Watson?
I am confident with Watson. I mean, the reality of this game is going to be what happens with the New England Patriots run game. The Patriots want to run the ball, slow the game down. They have the slowest pace of play in the entire NFL by a wide margin. And the reality is here, Texans have been very bad on the ground. They're the second worst team over the last 6 weeks in fantasy points given up to running backs, but I actually view that almost as a good thing. I think that when these teams are giving up small yardage plays over and over and over and over and over to the Patriots, the drives take forever. You know, if you're getting 15, 20-yard chunks on this Houston Texans defense, you're not going to be able to keep your offense on the field quite as long. And I do think that this game, you know, it's a 48.5-point over-under, which is pretty high for a Patriots game, and I think it's going to hit it.
All right, Cam Newton. How do we feel about Cam? Is there more booty scooting to be had in this matchup? Are you willing to flex him out, or not flex him out, but stream him this week?
Cam Newton is like
Cam sucks for fantasy. Of course he's in play. Of course,
about
Cam is terrible, and of course he's in play. He's only had 2 weeks on the season where he has not been a quarterback one. He's been a top 12 quarterback every single week of the season except for two. And who out there thinks Cam's playing good ball? Anybody? That's why I say Cam sucks. Because
you don't like 13 for 17 for 118 yards passing?
Exactly. But
you don't like 9 for 15 for 98 yards passing?
I can't stand it. He's playing terrible football, but he runs the ball. He gets rushing touchdowns. You can absolutely play him in this matchup. I mean, the only two games.
Oh, my goodness. Do you want to? I'm sorry, Jason, to cut you off, but you will be very entertained by this. I was just looking at his pace, okay? This is his pace from week 3 until now. So 6 games played. Passing pace. 2,600 yards passing. 5 touchdowns. Oh. He's on a 5 touchdown pace as a passer.
And almost all of those weeks, a quarterback won. So stupid. Fantasy scoring is
that's
broken.
A quarterback dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. And I guess we didn't really talk about this in the Taysom Hill part of the show. Do you guys? What's your guys' confidence level to? You're in a one quarterback league. You play Taysom Hill your actual starting quarterback. Would you play
him over Cam?
Would you play Taysom Hill or would you play Cam Newton?
I think I would play Cam because we know what we're getting. The matchup is good. He's been a top 12 quarterback, but Taysom is absolutely in play for all of those same reasons. I said it's a Tim Tebow-led offense. Tim Tebow was really good for fantasy because he runs the ball, gets rushing touchdowns, and you would expect Taysom Hill to have 50
Taysom
yards.
Taysom can throw better than Tebow.
And maybe Cam Newton.
Maybe Cam Newton, too, yeah.
Here's the thing. If you are in a matchup where you are a heavy underdog, I am playing Taysom Hill. Because Cam Newton, while you the stat was accurate, Jason, these are like number 12 quarterback, number 8 quarterback, number 12 quarterback. This is not a ceiling type of play when you're throwing for 120 yards and Jacoby Myers is your number one target. So that's the philosophy I would approach it with. Damian Harris, I brought up the case for him yesterday as a great play, especially in standard leagues. Mm-hmm. The identity of this team is to run the football, and he's going to probably give you 100 on the ground against a Houston defense that is porous, to put it nicely, against running backs. Do you touch any of the other running backs, though, from, like, do you take the touchdown shot with Rex Burkhead, or is this just Damian and no one else?
I think you can. I think you can flex Rex Burkhead. If you were in the situation where he's in the same area to me as Chase Edmonds of flexing him, maybe even a bit of a higher touchdown probability than even Chase. So he's, if you're in a deeper league, you can play him as a flex, yes.
Jason made a great point about Brandon Cooks yesterday, what the Patriots do to shut down your number one option. Will Fuller's last three games against the Patriots. 3 for 16, 1 for 8, 3 for 31.
Yeah, that's Gilmore, though. I mean, Gilmore is still dealing with his knee injury. I haven't heard an update this week if the Patriots are expecting
him
to
play or
not.
Would you just sit him if he's back? Would you just sit Will Fuller? Would you find another? Like, would you play Jacoby Myers across the field, who's had so many targets,
right,
versus this historically bad Will Fuller, which, by the way, DK Metcalf, historically bad against the Cardinals. I think in three previous games, he had like 3 catches total. He had a nice game last night.
I would still play Will Fuller. It's a knee injury for a superstar cornerback, so there's no, even if he's back, there's no guarantee that Gilmore's at 100%.
Okay. And then anything else from this game that you guys want to get into in terms of potential starts?
Duke Johnson, is someone you need to talk about. The Patriots, over the last 6 games, they've been pretty bad against the run. I think he's someone that is going to get enough volume to be, you know, in your RB2 or your flex spot, but I don't expect a big game here.
Duke Johnson saw 100% of the running back attempts for the Houston Texans last week,
making his output all the more depressing. He feels like the exact same decision to start Gio Bernard. If neither of those players get into the end zone, then you are probably bummed out.
Possibly. I mean, last week at Cleveland, it was 7-10 because of the weather. The weather remains undefeated.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, the Miami Dolphins at 6-3 take on the 3-6 Denver Broncos. Dolphins are 3.5-point road favorites, trying to go to 7-3 here.
Palindrome game.
And you like the 6-3, 3-6.
You know I do.
I'm trying to find the quote from Drew Lock that I had shared with you guys this morning.
Oh, yes, where Drew Lock was saying that, talking about his bad passes, where about half of them, as soon as it leaves his hands, he thinks, oh, no.
Yeah, that is accurate. And he was just honest. And we say the same. When it leaves his hand, we say, oh, no, as well.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Look, what have I done?
I appreciate the honesty from Drew. I mean, it's not like the rest of the world watching thinks
doesn't have the
differently.
Same thought. So, but what does that mean for passing options for Denver? Because, Jason, I know you're staring down the Jerry Jeudy decision every week.
Yeah, I have been. And I could tell you right now, there is not a single Denver Bronco that I'm aiming to start. If I can get Melvin Gordon out of my running back spot, out of my flex, and put him on the bench this week, I mean, he's barely getting to 10 carries since Lindsey has been back. Two of the last 3 games, he didn't. Jerry Jeudy, no. I mean, Jerry Judy's had really one good game, another game where he had a long touchdown at the beginning of the year. Outside of that, he's not been good. I think the Dolphins are legit. They've been locking down the number one option. If I had to pick one player from this game, I think I like Tim Patrick more than Jerry Jeudy, but I don't want a single Bronco. If either of you disagree, talk me into starting a Bronco here against a Dolphins defense that's been really hot.
It's just Noah Fant is the only question, and then that's because the tight end is rough and Noah Fant can take one play and make an entire tight end's worth of fantasy points.
Yeah, that being said, since weeks 1 and 2, he's the tight end 22 in fantasy. So it's like a very soft secret endorsement.
Yeah, look, I believe in Noah Fant's future, but right now he is banged up. You can see it how he's playing. Every single week he's leaving the game and coming back. I just can't trust him right now.
Mike Gesicki or Noah Fant?
That's a good one.
I'll play Gesicki in that situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do I have another
not
one?
Not with any sort of joy in my heart. I mean,
Jared Cook with Taysom Hill or Noah Fant?
Look, this is my decision. League of record. I have Noah Fant and Jared Cook.
Well, then tell the people what you're doing.
Travis Kelce is the answer.
I had Jared Cook in the lineup with Taysom Hill making the switch. I am going to stick with Jared Cook in the lineup as of right now. Right. I don't like either. And
Cook?
Honestly, Logan Thomas is a player I'd rather play over any of them. But it's tough to actually drop a player that you believe has better upside the rest of the season for a Logan Thomas, who I'm not sure I could trust week in and week out.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I probably wouldn't have a problem dropping those guys to pick up Logan Thomas if you need to win this week. Kind of the, hey, one week at a time situation. But the other side of the ball, Tua, I don't think he's a real great fantasy option.
Agreed.
I'm looking at Salvin Ahmed, and I'm saying, well, he may have a good opportunity. I don't know how much work Matt Breida will get. I know that it wasn't their choice to play him when he was healthy, and they had Myles Gaskin. They really like running a single back that can do a lot. Ironically, Ahmed and Gaskin were teammates. They're similar body sizes. They both have the same type of production. I'm not super afraid of starting Ahmed because Breida had a full practice. Do you guys disagree with me there?
If Breida's active, I don't want to start Ahmed.
Really?
I'm kind of in between the two of you. I would still start Ahmed if I had him. It's like he's my flex or my running back three, that type of an area. But I disagree that I am nervous about the start that Matt Breida could. Matt Breida might be the guy. I mean, as soon as Gaskin, the injury was announced that he was going to miss, you know, three or more weeks, they poured the confidence onto Matt Breida. Unfortunately, Matt Breida just got hurt right away. So it's maybe they stick with the hot hand of Ahmed.
Well, and Ahmed was very productive. I mean, he was the RB12 last week.
Yeah,
I mean, it's similar to what you saw in Seattle, right? I mean, the backup to Chris Carson was going to be Carlos Hyde. But he got injured at the same time, and so they had DJ Dallas come in. He was productive. Alex Collins was productive, but once Carlos Hyde was back, there was a reason he was running ahead of them to begin with. And I think that Matt Breida was running ahead of Ahmed to begin with.
He was running ahead of Myles Gaskin, just for context. I'd water bet you Ahmed versus Breida. That's for sure if they're both active.
Yeah, and I would side the Ahmed side. It's just do you have the confidence that he's going to put up 21 carries? For this week if Burita is there.
Producer Borland, please hit that water bet button.
What? Wow. I don't know if we have it.
Water bet.
Oh, there we go. Goodness. If you just bet on Matt Burita.
If Burita is active, I do think he would run ahead of Ahmed.
I was expecting you to condition it. Like, if Burita's active, is the starter, and has more fancy points, I will take him in this bet.
If you would agree, I would take that bet.
I know you would. All right, Devontae Parker. We don't have confidence in his production, but like, let me ask you, Devontae Parker or Robbie Anderson without Teddy Bridgewater?
Ooh, Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, I got to go Robbie. I mean, since
what about Jacoby Myers or Devontae Parker?
Jacoby.
Yeah, then I'll go Jacoby there.
Okay. All right. New York Jets, they are still winless, 0-9. The Los Angeles Chargers, 2-7. Chargers are 9.5-point home favorites. It's a 46-point over-under. And here's a shocking stat. The Chargers, 2-7, all seven losses by one score. So is that a...
Brutal.
Is that a way of saying, look, Anthony Lynn is a great head coach. Everything is competitive. He's managed to work through quarterback issues and injuries, or is this a way to say, Anthony Lynn's a poor coach, he can't manage close games, and his team can't execute at the end, or is it no blame?
No, it's 2 years in a row of a lot of this, and I think it is the problem of the head coach. You've got in-game mismanagement. You've got time clock issues on an almost weekly basis, and you know, I definitely blame Anthony Lynn. I like the dude a lot. Watching Hard Knocks, I was like, this dude's awesome. I'm not convinced he's a great head coach. He hasn't shown anything in real games to make me believe that.
Okay, and I know you're right because I like him so much. So, historically speaking, Gus Edwards didn't work out for me, who's also a part of this staff. Have we thought about it? Could be Gus's problem.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson.
It all comes back to Gus.
Shocked you don't love Gase.
Oh, stop it. if I had any like single one-liner to defend Adam Gase, if that existed, I would have just said it there to be funny. But none of that exists.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert. Yeah. Please play him.
What about without the hair?
I know. In spite of the haircut, he may not get a date to the dance, but he's going to get a date on my fantasy roster.
Herbs, your hair was legit. Like, that was elite hair.
You're not talking about his facial hair, right?
No. Look, he's still a bitty baby boy. He's got to grow into his beard. When I was his age, there was no follicles growing out of my cheeks.
Is he 14?
I don't know if you guys have seen the picture mashup of him and young Anakin Skywalker, the little boy.
Oh my goodness.
It looks very similar.
But yes. You are right. He's Herbert, one of the shining spots of this NFL season. Looks like he's about to become one of those top-tier quarterbacks for the future.
It's going to be Joe Flacco on the other side of the football, and that's a good thing for the downfield options in New York. Sam Darnold, you can blame Adam Gase all you want. Maybe Adam Gase made the man here, but he has got Sam Darnold's got problems in terms of, you know, hanging out in the pocket, looking downfield, gets skittish, runs too frequently. So Flacco last week, he provided fantasy value to Denzel Mims had targets. Breshad Perriman had two touchdowns and Jamison Crowder scored. So there is some opportunity for Perriman, I think, as the main potential flex here in this matchup. I'm willing to do it. Like, sure. Are you guys on the same page?
Yeah. I'm personally not, just because I totally agree with everything you're saying. The opportunity is there for Perriman. This Chargers defense looks great, and you could have a lot of points scored here for the Jets. But at the same time, they're all healthy now. Crowder is out there. Perriman is out there. Denzel Mims is getting more and more involved in the offense now that he's back from his injury. I don't think all three guys are going to have a good game. And while Perriman was the beneficiary last time we saw Joe Flacco throwing it downfield, I don't think that's prescriptive to necessarily mean that's a guarantee. And relying on a Jets player is hard.
I like Perriman because he's shown the downfield propensity for years now. So I'm okay with it. I look to the other side of the ball, though.
Whoa, you got to talk about my boy, LaMichael Perine, man.
Well, I was looking at the other wide receivers, Mike. See, oh, I was doing a little bit of a wide receiver dance there.
I apologize. Continue to host.
Well, Keenan Allen, yeah. But Mike Williams was my question to you guys. He's had a couple monster games, but then he's been outside the top 36 in the rest of them. So I was going to actually throw the Perryman Mike Williams question to you, Mike, because it seems on the surface that Mike Williams is the right play, but from, you know, I'm not sure about that. That might be another one I'm willing to bet Jason and his crazy face.
Oh, Jeremy, you put that on the board.
What?
Water bet.
I don't know what the bet is.
It's Perriman versus Mike Williams.
Wait, you want Perriman?
No.
I do. I do Andy want Perriman. Does. Yeah.
Oh, I'll take, I'm not in on the bet, but I will take Mike Williams. I get it that, you know, 2 weeks ago against Las Vegas, he was the wide receiver 37. He was 5 for 81.
Yeah, he had a great game.
You would take that every day of the week. I'm going to go between the two of them, give me Mike Williams. I'll take the better quarterback and the better offense.
And the better matchup.
Sure. That makes sense. LaMichael Perine, you're going to be wrong, but that makes sense. LaMichael Perine and Kalen Ballage are the fantasy options in this game. Now, Ballage, 40 touches over the last 2 weeks. Nothing in this backfield has really changed. Joshua Kelly has not become any more elusive. Justin Jackson's on IR. Austin Eckler not available. Trumaine Pope wasn't involved last week. So Balazs to me is a smash play.
I love Kalen Balazs this week, and this is a perfect example. We were talking about this on our SiriusXM show. We talk about it in preseason all the time. Staying water. I have hated Kalen Balazs for the entirety of his career up until he was a Charger. Never believed in his situation or his talent. What you've seen in the last two games says Balazs should be in your lineup. I mean, 40 touches in the last 2 weeks and a great matchup, and nothing changed around him. I will play Balazs if I've got him.
There's no part of me that has ever wanted to add to my fantasy football resume the fact that I traded for Kalen Balazs, but it's now part of my resume because of this week's matchup. LaMichael Perine, reports out of New York is that he's going to see a bigger workload. However, Adam Gase did highlight the fact that Frank Gore has been the best player on his team, which then highlights the fact that his team is 0-9. So, Perine with the hype of a greater opportunity, we must remember, my friends, a great opportunity on the Jets is not the same thing as a great opportunity elsewhere. I am tempering expectations, but I do believe that he is somebody to monitor and should certainly be rostered.
Yeah, he feels like you pick him up, you stash him right now, because this is a great matchup against the Chargers. They are 27th against fantasy running backs the past 6 weeks. It has been a matchup you generally can exploit. So yeah, I don't think I have the confidence to play LaMichael Perine this week, but pick him up and see what they do with him.
My buzzer went off. We cannot talk about the Jets anymore on this show. Or we violate advertising contracts. So the Green Bay Packers at 7-2 take on the 6-3 Indianapolis Colts. I'm excited for this game. Mm-hmm. The Colts are favored, and I think they win the ball game. I'm picking them in all of our like office picks pools. I think the Colts are going to win this one. The Packers are a bewildering team in some ways. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has been incredible this season. We do have question marks around Davante Adams, around Alan Lazard's availability, and the Packers have just, like, someone's flipped a switch off for them at times this year, the Tampa Bay game. They've had to come back. I mean, they were the Jacksonville Jaguars were staying competitive. It's weird. I think they're a great team, but I think the Colts are a great team, too, so that's where I lean. How do you guys see this one playing out with the question marks around Davante Adams?
Yeah, I mean, that is the differentiator to me as to how this game plays out. Without Davante Adams, I would certainly take the Colts in this one, because I don't think MVS and a limited Lazard is going to be enough to move the ball on a great Colts defense. But if Davante Adams is there, I mean, the Packers, one thing that I've seen from the Packers is that they absolutely love to have the chip on the shoulder. They love to be disrespected. They love to be the underdog. And if they've got Davante Adams and Aaron Jones ready for this game, I would take the Packers in this game on the road against a good Colts team because they're underdogs.
All right, Green Bay's dead last in pace of play. The Colts are 22nd. So there is some, you know, with the defenses being pretty formidable here. You know, yesterday we were looking in our league of record at, you know, fantasy points produced by the defense. And I've been able to ride the Steelers all year long. Well, the Colts are number one. The Steelers are number two. The Colts defense is consistently producing week after week, which is going to take a little bit of the top off of the Packers upside here. And if you don't have Davante Adams, I don't know if I have confidence. Like, are you going to bump up Robert Tonyan and play him this week, you know, with Adams off the field? Are you going to play Jamal Williams? Other than Aaron Jones, where are you making moves in this offense without Davante Adams?
It would be Robert Tonyan for me. Tons of fun. We saw him come through where in those couple games with Davante Adams out. And so, like, he's at least proven himself to Aaron Rodgers as a capable guy when he needs to be called upon. He just hasn't had to be called upon the last couple of weeks. So I would bump him up back into that tight end one conversation.
Yeah, and I think the biggest question that other people will have is MVS, whether or not with Davante Adams out, MVS last
Marquez
two games.
Voldemort.
Marquez Voldemort Scantling, whether or not they could start him. I would not be starting him.
Who shall not be started.
Yes, he who shall not be started. He is not a one. If he goes into that role and the defense is focusing on him, he might have 8 or 9 targets, but he'll end up with like 44 yards on 4 receptions. So I'm going to avoid MVS.
He does tend to fold when the pressure's on. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I'd say, how about Michael Pittman, the Colts rookie wide receiver who looks great. Looks like a potential breakout is coming for him over the second half of the season. However, Jair Alexander, Green Bay Packers shutdown corner, is back at practice from he was dealing with a concussion problem. We don't know for sure that he's going to play, but if he's back at practice right now, you would expect him to play.
Aren't you happy that he's recovered from his injury and he's back at practice? I saw you make a face that said otherwise.
It's a head injury. I think you really need to take some time here, Jair, for your long-term health. Specifically because I have Pittman and I would like to play him. If Jair Alexander is out there, that makes it much, much more difficult. The question is, I know we've made the transition officially and for sure that Pittman is the wide receiver one for fantasy purposes. But would Jair Alexander be on Pittman, or would he still be on T.Y. Hilton, on the other side of the ball?
Oh, he'll be on Hilton, in my opinion, for sure. Mm. Pittman's involvement in this offense, I don't have confidence in starting him because this is a pretty formidable wide receiver defense to begin with, and Pittman's got one good game in the National Football League, and there was some gadgetry to his production last week. I'm not going to anoint him because if I know one thing about Phillip Rivers is he's fairly target agnostic here. He is not locking in on one guy. It can be Pascal. It can be Doyle. It can be Burton. It can be Hines, for all we know. So I don't look at Pittman and say, man, this guy's demanding all the targets in the offense. I think we saw a good game from him, and I'm not willing to start him here.
How about the running backs for the Colts? What do you do with Hines, who now has NBA Jam rules say that he is heating up? We know the matchup is great on the season. The Packers are 31st against fantasy running backs. They allow rushing yards. Is Hines in the flex? What do you do with Johnny Taylor, the chosen one from the draft? Are you playing any of these guys if you can help it?
I think Hines would be the person you'd put in, not only because of the hot hand, but because he's the only one with some sort of baseline with the receptions. Since that weird week 2 where he only had one target, he's getting 4.6 targets a game from that point on. And the matchup says that you could play him for an upside. It's risky business, though, because the hot hand approach is legit. If Jonathan Taylor comes out and looks good, they'll keep giving them the ball. If Jordan Wilkins comes out and does that, which he won't, they would keep giving him the ball. So I have a hard time to definitively say that
Jordan Wilkins will not. But Jonathan Taylor could, although yes. I don't think we have seen Jonathan Taylor this entire season come out and look like he has the hot hand.
And Jordan Wilkins did have a 20-for-89 hot hand game 3 weeks ago where he finished as the running back 6.
Yes, there has been one time in his career, and it was a few weeks
ago. That's more than zero.
Look, Jonathan Taylor, you look at the beginning of the year, he was extraordinarily relevant for...
Yes, for fantasy.
For fantasy. Yes. So,
but the mittens, he wasn't wearing mittens at all. So
yeah, need to get him some mittens.
The Dallas Cowboys at 2-7 take on the Minnesota Vikings at 4-5. Vikings playing some better football of late. Mike's shaking his head. The Vikings are 7-point favorites, 48-point over-under.
I'm sorry. I'm shaking my head at the fact that the Dallas Cowboys are 2-7. We are heading into Week 10. The divisional leaders are 3-5-1, meaning the Dallas Cowboys are, at 2-7, are not out of the playoff race. Ridiculous. Yeah, there you go.
There's Judge Giamatti with his Cowboys fandom. How proud would you be if you made the playoffs with a record like that?
Not very.
They are in the contention for either a top 5 pick or a playoff spot.
A home field playoff game.
Yeah.
At least this year.
It's 2020.
Yeah, at least this year field doesn't matter quite the same as it usually does without the fans there. So if the NFC East has to host a game, at least it'll be hopefully fanless.
Let me run something by you here. You see how it lands. Andy Dalton, Super Bowl MVP. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
Get to the playoffs, make it happen.
Some men just want to watch the world burn, and I would love that.
That would be Andy Dalton's Super Bowl MVP is how the 2020 season should be culminated. Yeah. But yes, as of right now, I don't think they get by the Minnesota Vikings. So 2-8 is in their future. The Vikings are playing very good football right now. Yeah. They're battling back to 500 in this game. Dallas has lost 4 in a row. They are coming off the bye week, and they get Andy Dalton back. Dalton went through it, man. He had a concussion, and he had COVID. And
he said he's still dealing with the recovery from COVID. So, I mean, you better pay attention to that. I don't know if it's locked and loaded that Dalton's going to start.
Yeah, I think he will, based on the comments I heard him talking about feeling good. But you're right, and it might not matter. I mean, is there any situation where me confirming that Andy Dalton is in the game is going to transition all of your starts and sits for the Dallas side of the football?
Yeah, I think it actually does because one of them, and it's Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was, you know, he was relevant. He wasn't great, but he was relevant when Andy Dalton was there. He was the clear number one target in the offense, which is what you want, some kind of indication that he will be the guy. You know, when the third string and fourth string quarterbacks came in behind Dalton, it was just whoever I can find first and get the ball out of my hands. And there was no clarity. So I don't know that you can really start Gallup or CeeDee Lamb with confidence. But if Andy Dalton is there, I would still be starting Amari Cooper.
Okay. Thielen and Jefferson should both be started without question. Jefferson has been on fire lately. Thielen always a touchdown threat. Had a couple last week. And oh, my goodness. We're bringing it back today.
Yes, sir. I love it.
Adam Thielen, he's our wide receiver 9 on the week against the Dallas secondary. We'll see if they can get things patched up a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. We've seen several teams do that in the second half, you know, Minnesota being one of them, right? Minnesota has been a better defense in terms of pressuring the quarterback, in terms of making plays in the last few weeks than they had been before. Dalvin Cook, you play every week. But Ezekiel Elliott, over the last month, 68 yards. That's what he's averaging per game total, not just on the ground, with no touchdowns. So how far down do you move him in the start-sit decisions? Jason made the point. You got to stay water, right? You cannot be loyal to names and former production and hope to make the playoffs in fantasy football. You have to be loyal to the week.
I've got the in or out question.
I know the name, I think.
Go ahead.
I think is it Kalen Ballage?
It's Kalen Ballage.
I knew it. I could feel it. I'm playing Kalen Ballage.
I am playing Kalen Ballage. Oh no! And we're now on the record.
We just put that out in the delete.
Yeah, Kalen Ballage. I abstain.
Dalton does. You abstain? Yeah. Dalton would help me a little bit with the Z.
We can't run for office anymore, Andy.
Right, they'll pull this up out of the archives and said, "This man, I can hear the ads already." Yeah,
I mean Ezekiel Elliott is
Kalen Ballage.
Ezekiel Elliott now is James Conner, Kenyon Drake. The volume is there.
That's a fair comp,
you know. And you're going to start them more often than you're not, and you're hoping for a touchdown or something like that. That's what Zeke is now, and those are serviceable, necessary, quality pieces for a fantasy roster. They're not the piece that puts you over the top to the championship like a Dalvin Cook or like usually a Ezekiel Elliott. But that's the mold that I've got him in now, is just a volume play that you're going to start most weeks that's going to finish somewhere in the RB2 range.
All right, one more question from the game, Mike. I'm going to put you on the spot. Matthew Stafford with the question marks and yet upside, or Kirk Cousins in this game against the Dallas defense weapons he has. Okay.
It's Kirk Cousins for me. And I just want to look, in a world where in this in tight end world, it's gross, but Dalton Schultz has to at least be in the conversation. Over the last 3 weeks, the dude's averaging about 19% of Dallas's targets. So
I don't think he has to be in the conversation. You can't make me put him in the conversation.
He's in the conversation.
He's not in the conversation.
He is.
Okay. I mean,
he's in the conversation. The last 6 weeks, the Vikings are allowing 11 points to the tight end position, which is 24th. Dalton Schultz seeing 19% of the targets. You can grimace and smirk, but that's what
I'm sadly nodding, Mike. Okay. I'm sad nodding.
He got 8 targets 2 weeks ago. He got 7 targets last week. I love that. But those were with the other quarterbacks. You know, that's not when Andy Dalton was playing four targets the week prior. And I mean,
I've been converted.
Okay.
He was the number 10 tight end 2 weeks ago.
Yes, with a totally different quarterback.
Well, it totally doesn't matter. I mean, he's running 95% of snaps, and I think that they're going to blitz the socks off Andy Dalton. So
you're going to play Janu against Baltimore, or are you going to play Dalton Schultz?
Yeah, I'll play Dalton Schultz. Oh, baby. Let's do a third one. Third bet, Jay. Let's go. Three bets.
Nope.
Yes.
Water bet. Yes.
I did it's not accept late. That.
You the audio drop said
okay,
you did.
Okay, I accept that with Logan Thomas. Let's
wait, you were
on.
So demonstrative against Dalton Schultz, and you're not
but
taking
the Johnny
Smith.
But that doesn't mean
Smith.
I'm pro Johnny. Being against one person doesn't mean
you're withdrawing from the trinity of water bets.
You love Kalen Ballage, so you must
no,
hate Dalvin
I just
want
to hear you say I withdraw from the water bet.
I withdraw from the water bet.
Okay, there you go.
Wow,
the
what
Kansas
a coward.
City Chiefs at 8-1 take on the the Las Vegas Raiders at 6-3. Chiefs are 8-point favorites. It's a 56.5 point over under. If we remember, this was a great fantasy game back in week 5. Las Vegas won it 40-32. And it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to this game. Divisional matchup. The Raiders seem to show up against the Chiefs. But are they going to show up in your lineup is my question. Are you willing to go out there and send in the car when he had such a big game against the Chiefs last time?
Send in the car. Send in the car.
I would prefer not to. Like Kirk Cousins, I would play him over Derek Carr. Carson Wentz against Cleveland, especially with the news of Myles Garrett going on the COVID list. I would play Carson Wentz over Derek Carr.
I think Kansas City is going to boat race the Raiders here. I think they were embarrassed and angry at their last matchup. And when you say that the Raiders show up, they did this year, but that's not like the common thread. You look at last year with Derek Carr and Gruden and this same team, you know, when the Raiders faced the Chiefs, they put up 10 points and 9 points. Coming off that loss from a couple weeks ago, I don't expect much from the Raiders. I think the Chiefs are going to be jacked up for this game.
Interesting. Okay, it is a nice over-under, 56.5 points. Implied point total for the Raiders at 24.3. Josh Jacobs is in your lineup. He's the RB5 in fantasy points, RB7 in points per game. Darren Waller, you play him every week because he is like...
He's the Walrus.
He's the Walrus. But Ruggs and Aguilar are merely dart throws at this point where you hope for one big play. And if you don't get a big play from either of those guys, you don't get anything from them. I mean, that is the recipe for Aguilar and Ruggs. They are desperation, deep league, dart throws. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You are right.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, let's hypothesize here. He missed the Thursday practice. I don't know if our producers have any more practice reports for us or information.
Nothing yet.
On Clyde. Okay, nothing. But if for some reason he missed this game, it would represent a pretty big opportunity for somebody else. No, is that Lev Bell? Is that Daryl Williams?
I know that
it's probably Lev.
Daryl Williams also missed Thursday's practice with an illness. I don't know. You would presume that him and Clyde have the same thing. So if Daryl had not missed, I would say Daryl, but that would bump Lev up. I don't know what that turns into, though. You could play Lev Bell at your own demise.
If Clyde is gone, I think Lev is someone you could plug in as a volume play on a team that's projected to win a lot. But he does look mostly washed. There was the whole question to begin the year: is Lev washed or is it the Jets? And you can't answer that question any better than saying, "Well, let's put him on the Chiefs, see how he does." I think he's his days are done, but. We've seen this already. The Chiefs don't need to run the ball.
Right.
You know, if Clyde is not there, then you might see Patrick Mahomes throwing it a ton, and that would put maybe even a Sammy Watkins at play. Obviously, you're starting Tyreek Hill. You're starting Travis Kelce. And I know when I bring up Sammy Watkins, it's
scary.
Usually
frightening.
Yeah, it's very scary. The Lizard people are not easy to look at.
Yeah, it's tough. I agree with you, though. My first thought when Clyde went down was not, who do I want to start in the backfield other than him? It was, oh my, Patrick Mahomes is just going to pass the ball more because He can. And Kelce and Mahomes are every week auto starts for the rest of their natural lives. Mm-hmm. But there is opportunity. I mean, the Raiders defense gives up a ton of points to fantasy wide receivers. So beyond Hill, somebody will be productive in this offense.
And the one thing I will add, and I believe this to be the case, but illness is a little bit different this year. In the past, people have played through illness. They've gone through a game with the flu, and even if they're testing, if they're testing negative for COVID, I'm pretty sure that if on game day you have COVID symptoms, you are not allowed to participate in the game. I think that's the rule. So usually when you see someone missed a practice with illness, you just assume they will be back. It's illness. At least on this, you got to monitor and pay attention Sunday morning.
Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams at 6-3 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, sitting at 7-3 right now. Buccaneers 4-point home favorites, 48-point over-under. We know that the Rams just lost Andrew Whitworth to their offensive line, which I think is even going to compound some of this 12 personnel we're seeing. I have, I don't know, Mike, if you had tuned into the Sirius show yesterday and heard me talk about Tyler Higbee. You know, I was very, very sour on Higbee coming into the season, believing that we'd see the three wide receiver sets and that he wouldn't be productive. I am feeling the second half breakout on the way from now. It could be Everett just as much as it is Higbee. I'm not necessarily loyal to Higbee, but I did like the downfield throws I saw last week, and they're running more 12 personnel. That's why Reynolds is getting so many snaps. That's probably something they're going to have to do to continue to have that run identity as an offense without Andrew Whitworth, with the struggles that they've had at offensive line at times. So, you know, all that to say, you know, you talk about dart throw Dalton Schultz. I'd play Higbee over Dalton Schultz in that case. I think Higbee could have a productive week. But offensively, I want to hear you guys break down the wide receivers for Los Angeles, because it's been a little bit disappointing of late. Snap counts going down for Kupp, Reynolds getting targeted. Put them in order for me. How do you evaluate them in this matchup against Tampa Bay, who's a formidable defense?
I would go Woods, Kupp, Reynolds, but I think Kupp has certainly lost a tier. In what we've seen going to 12 personnel, what we saw at the second half of last year, and Kupp was still good the second half of last year, but the snap percentage went down. The utilization of 12 personnel came up more, and it was very touchdown dependent last season. So maybe that does open up the touchdown opportunities for Kupp, but I would rather, touchdowns are the least sticky stat. So I think Woods is pretty much still an auto start every week. And then you've got to just look at the matchup for Kupp and Reynolds. I've been really high on Reynolds lately. I picked him up this last week, was happy with, what he did, but this isn't the matchup for him. The Rams are just outstanding. They're number one on the season against wide receivers as far as points given up. They're also number one in the last 6 weeks. They've just been doing it.
Well, he doesn't have to
year.
Play against his own defense,
yeah,
right?
Really,
he has to play against Tampa Bay.
Oh, that is great news. I got mixed around there.
Are right about the Rams, and that has implications for Godwin, Evans, and Brown. The Buccaneers are 10th against opposing fantasy wide receivers, so it's still a tough matchup.
I've got him on my...
But do you
my...
have the same opinion, knowing that he doesn't have to play himself?
So I've got Reynolds on my roster now.
When Jalen Ramsey shuts down Josh Reynolds,
it's
don't
gonna
come
be,
crying to me.
It's going
to
be embarrassing.
Crying to me.
Look, so here's the situation. I have the worst three wide receivers to choose from in my league of record, one of which is Josh Reynolds.
You want us to help you out?
Please do. I hate the matchup this week when I looked into it. And that is against Tampa Bay, not against his own Rams defense. But knowing that I hate the matchup, I looked at the Rams defense, got confused there. But I don't like, Josh Reynolds, he's getting the targets, but I don't think I could trust him in this. And so let me give you my roster, and you two can set my lineup here.
Let's do
Jerry Jeudy, Josh Reynolds, or Michael Pittman Jr.
Waiver wire.
I would go... The waiver wire is not going to have a better option than that. I would go with Josh Reynolds. And if I have to order the Rams wide receivers, I probably still go Woods, Kupp, Reynolds. But, you guys were talking about the snaps. Cooper Kupp was on the field barely over half of the snaps, 53% of the snaps. He's dealing with that wrist injury.
I don't think it's that. I really don't.
I do. Like, McVay acknowledged that Cooper is a bit banged up, and you could see it when you're watching the game. You could see him shaking it out, flexing it. It's bothering him.
Yeah, and another part of it is just run blocking. I mean, they said they pull Cooper Kupp off the field to run block in 12 personnel, and that's part of the snap count issue. So if you combine that, he's not going to block with a bum wrist.
Right, the wrist and the blocking. So on the other side of the ball, I don't know if you know this, the Rams have been great against wide receivers. They're number one on the season, number one over the last 6 weeks. So when it comes to the actual wide receivers playing against that team, Godwin, Evans, Antonio Brown, it makes it really murky. How do you?
I'm playing them all.
Really?
I'm playing them all.
I love it.
I'm
bet on Brady.
I'm confident Brady and the Buccaneers and what this offense is doing, to the point where I'm not running away from any of those three options. If I did have to order them, I'm putting Evans at the bottom of the list because he has a tendency to disappear, and he's going to get Jalen Ramsey on the outside situation, mm-hmm. I think. I would put Godwin and Brown both ahead of him. But, you know, look, Vegas has them as 4-point favorites. It's 26 points need to get up on the board. And I'm not running away from this matchup. It's one of the reasons why I agree with Mike. I think I would play Josh Reynolds if I was you, because I think that this is going to be a game that hits the over. I think we're going to see a good Monday Night Football matchup. And that's why I'm still willing to play Brady, you know, coming off of last week as well.
Flat and no.
Now I'm not, but I was before Al Borland hit that button. And Gronkowski. Gronkowski is somebody you have to play at the tight end position because, come on, we're talking about Dalton Schultz, and we're having to talk about players like Dalton Schultz at tight end.
Yeah, I mean, is Gronk right now the tight end three? I mean, is he? It's probably a Hockenson and Gronk right now. I mean,
rather play Gronk than Hockenson.
Yeah.
So weird. Yeah, he is.
You'd rather play Gronk than Hockenson?
I would.
I would not. I would rather play Hockenson.
I mean, maybe this week. I'm talking holistically here. Maybe this week is different because everybody's banged up for Detroit. But like rest of season, who would you rather have, Gronk or Hockenson?
That one's tough. I might lean Hockenson still. I go Hockenson there. Yeah.
But this week Gronk does project good. I mean, the Rams, if you look at where they give up fantasy points, it's not to the quarterback, running back, or wide receiver. It is to tight end.
Superman projects good. All right, Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown. I mean, it's Henderson and no one else at the running back position for the Rams, and Ronald Jones and no one else at the running back position for the Buccaneers.
I would not. No, not for me. I mean, you look at the snaps and the touches are very even for Daryl Henderson and the rest of the crew. And
so you're settling into no one else, not a Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. If I have to play one, I'm going to play Daryl Henderson because he at least feels like the starter, even though Malcolm Brown saw the most snaps of the trio last week. And Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, yes, I would play Jones ahead of Leonard Fournette. But I think there's a world where Fournette gets more involved this week.
Ronald Jones, I brought him up on the SiriusXM show yesterday. I think he's been underrated. This is a player that's been producing more consistently than we think late. He's had two top five performances, not just the one big week. It's a player that you got to put out there, and you hope that Arians has seen the light. You don't bet any of your money that he's seen the light.
Correct.
But you hope he has.
That's fair.
So let's get into our final segment.
Prop It Like It's Hot, presented by Monkey Knife Fight.
All right, it's time for our favorite Week 11 props on Monkey Knife Fight. We do this every week, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is in terms of the DJ Chark conversation yesterday. Are you shocked at this, Jason? Is that your face?
Shocked, no, but surprised, yes, and sad more than anything, because there's something in me that just likes Chark this week, but I get it.
And this is a look. DJ Chark is a big play type of player, so one play could ruin my prediction here. But DJ Chark, I'm taking fewer than 55.5 yards.
55!
Oh, he's been basically 50-50 on that number over the course of the year. But this is not a DJ Chark take. This is a Jake Luton take. You mix an inexperienced two-start rookie with the Steelers defense, and you get James Robinson as your offensive strategy. You don't get Jake Luton as your strategy. He was 18 for 35 last week for 169 passing yards against the Packers. He's going to be the problem for DJ Chark. He may take his shot, but if he misses that one shot, you could see an evaporation of fantasy value for DJ Chark. That's my bet. It's a Luton-free zone, and that means no DJ Chark over 55 yards.
I completely agree he needs a deep shot to hit it. I see him getting a deep shot this week, but without it, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be in Luton's face quite often. I'm going to go with
the
guy
this, Jay.
We've talked about quite a bit, and I think this is, you know, one of those great spots where I'm super confident. It's Kalen Ballage, more than 54.5 rushing yards, meaning he only needs 55 rushing yards. 55! There it is. And look, I mean, since he's been the quote-unquote starter the last 2 weeks, he's smashed 55 rushing yards. So this week against the Jets, they're not the ones to hold him back. It's a revenge game taking on Adam Gase. So yeah, give me Kalen Ballage is something I said
out loud.
Yeah, now you can't run for office.
Now you can't run for office. All right, Mike, what do you got?
I'm going with Cam Newton. I like his prop of 210.5 passing yards, and I will take the less. Cam Newton has passed for more than the 210 yards twice while being under 200 passing yards 7 times. I get it that the matchup against the Houston Texans, it could lure you into that this is one of those weeks that Cam Newton is going to pass a little bit more, but I will err on the side of history of this season and say Cam Newton will not throw more than 210 passing yards.
Mercy, when you see 210 and you go less...
I saw 210, I was terrified you were going to say more because I was I was so scared. And the thing is here's another way to ask the question. Will Jacoby Myers have 210 receiving yards?
You could say like 190 and will Burkhead have 20?
Okay, thank you. James White will have 4. And yeah, no, I agree with you, Mike.
You'd assume that it's like I'm taking less than 210. On Ben DiNucci, like, this is Cam Newton. But I completely agree. I would take less, too.
All right. Make sure you check out Monkey Knife Fight this week. You can do so by going to ballerspicks.com and use the code BALLERS. You get a 100% deposit match. You can participate in tons of more or less games on their system. But you get a 100% deposit match up to $50 on Monkey Knife Fight by going to ballerspicks.com and using that code BALLERS, and you can participate with us each and every week. It's a lot of fun. This is a style of game that we really enjoy, which is the more or less the prop type of situation.
Go play, man. Ballers Picks.
BallersPicks.com. That will do it. An extra long episode for you today.
A mini letdown.
You're welcome. When you have to talk about Kalen Ballage, it goes a little long.
It does.
So
stay safe,
enjoy the weekend.
I'll see you on Sunday. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.